Our Old Testament reading today is from Isaiah 11, 1 to 10. Hear this word of the Lord. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, of counsel and might, of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy and give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, the lion will eat straw like the ox, the infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the people. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, open our hearts and minds to your presence in this place. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, we have 17 days left till Christmas, so what's on your to-do list right now? If you're making a mental list, what's on there? Is it all gifts, food, gatherings, decorating, parties? And how are you feeling about it all? Are you stressed out? Are you excited? Are you exhausted already? Now, I want you to make another list in your mind of your deepest hopes and dreams for Christmas. What if you could have what you really dream for, what you really hope for? What would you put on that list? Would it be reconciliation, peace in your home or heart? Would it be a reunion of family or friends? What about the chance to go home or welcome others home? What about a sense of calm, of hope, love, or joy? What are your hopes for your own heart and your home? What are your hopes for our world? Do you pray for kids to not go hungry or people to have clean water? Do you dream of struggling families finding hope, or those affected by violence or disaster, injustice, to find justice and peace? What are your hopes and dreams? Now think about this. What things on that to-do list could actually help you realize some of those deepest hopes and dreams? What things on your to-do list could God use to help move you toward those deeper goals? And what could you do to focus on the things you really long for? What can you do to prioritize the things that last long after Christmas is over? And what if we all thought about that this week, about how we can truly celebrate the birth of Christ and not just this hectic season? How can we seek eternal treasures when earthly treasures seem to be vying for our attention at Christmas? Last week we talked about an interesting movement of pastors and churches called the Advent Conspiracy. It's a movement to fully celebrate the birth of Jesus. And some of it was about doing less, like spending less money. But a lot of it was about more, like having more attention to worship, giving more of your heart, your time, your talent, and your love, loving more everyone, especially the least of these. That movement is about finding things that last, things that the prophet Isaiah tells us the Messiah will bring, like love, justice, peace, and hope. These are the things we really long for, aren't they? And these are the things that have been promised to us throughout the scriptures. We've seen some of it when Jesus came. We see some of it today as we follow Jesus. But the rest is yet to come when Jesus returns. Because we live in this in-between time. Jesus has come as a baby born in Bethlehem, but he has not come back yet to redeem all humanity and all creation. Just like that picture of the peaceable kingdom by Edward Hicks that I showed the kids today, we are waiting when all creation and all humanity will be living in peace, love, joy, and hope. Advent is about that waiting for Jesus. for Jesus' birth at Christmas and his return in the future. Advent is about waiting with yearning and longing and expectation for all those gifts of Jesus. All throughout the season of Advent, we hear especially from the prophet Isaiah, because he writes about the hope of a Messiah, a Savior, who will bring peace, justice, hope to our world, not just to the Jews, but to all nations and all people. And you know what's interesting? Isaiah wrote these prophecies and promises during times of persecution and suffering for God's people. The book of Isaiah is actually composed of three different parts. Likely the first was written by the prophet Isaiah, and the next two sections were written at later times in the spirit of Isaiah, using his name and continuing God's promises and visions of a different future with a Savior coming to save the world. First Isaiah, the one who likely wrote the first 39 chapters, was probably written during the time of what some call the first Jewish Holocaust, a 40-year time period when the Assyrians ravaged the Jews in Palestine in the year 740 to 700 BC. They tortured and persecuted God's people. And it was during this difficult time that Isaiah offered God's promises of hope and justice and peace, which makes his words all the more meaningful, right? If you read through all of Isaiah or sing through much of it in beautiful Handel's Messiah, you get a picture of what Isaiah wanted us to expect. And if you had to sum it up in one word, that one word would be shalom. Shalom is a Hebrew term for peace, but it means more than just the absence of war or conflict. It's about wholeness and healing, the wholeness of body, mind, and spirit. Shalom is something that God's people longed for during the time of Isaiah. But isn't it something we long for today? Especially at Christmas, especially during times of hardship. Today, on the second Sunday of Advent, we also heard powerful words from John the Baptist, the one who came to prepare the way of the Lord. And during Advent, it makes sense to hear about John preparing the way for Jesus. But I wonder, what does the message of John the Baptist have to do with the prophecies of Isaiah? In some way, John fulfills some of Isaiah's prophecies about a man of righteousness and justice who came to prepare the way for the ultimate one of righteousness and justice, Jesus Christ. And John had a very special message, too, for the people awaiting a Savior. While Isaiah's message was one of hope and peace and justice, John's message was one of repentance. Repentance. What does that word make you think of? Does it make you think of being sorry or feeling guilty? The Greek word for repentance in the Bible is metanoia, which means to change one's mind or reorient oneself. It's not just about feeling sorry that you messed up or feeling guilty. It's about reorienting your life. It's about a new attitude, a new outlook. It's about seeing things from God's point of view and not our own. So I wonder, don't we need both of these visions of Isaiah and John the Baptist during this time of Advent? And what if both visions are pathways to finding wholeness and healing? Listen again to the promises of Isaiah. We've heard them and sung them so often they sometimes lose their meaning. Righteousness will be his belt, faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for all the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. What if we heard these words of hope and peace with new hearts and minds? What if we remembered their context and how they were written to people who were suffering and hurting? What if we heard them today as God's word to us, to all people who need healing and wholeness and shalom? That would be good news, right? Today after the sermon, we're going to have a time of prayer for healing and wholeness. You'll be invited to come forward if you wish. For this special time of prayer, laying on of hands and anointing with oil as I make the sign of the cross on your forehead. As I place my hand upon your shoulder, remember the healing touch of Jesus. As I anoint you with oil, remember this ancient practice of Jews and Christians, this sign of God's healing power for the sick. James 5:14 says that the sick should be anointed with oil for healing, and we know that in Mark 6:13 the 12 disciples practiced the anointing of the sick as they were healing people. This is the spirit of today's service. The prayers are for healing and wholeness. The laying on of hands is a sign of Jesus' touch. The anointing with oil is for healing, whether that is body, mind, or spirit. You can ask for a specific request, and I will pray for that, or you can just bow your head, and I will pray, anoint, and bless you. We all need God's healing and wholeness. And sometimes hearing the words and seeing the actions that are symbolic of that are so powerful. So during this time, I invite you to come forward like in Tinction Communion, giving the person in front a little more space. And I ask for silence in honor of this special time and meditation as we hear beautiful music. Don't feel like you must come forward. I'll be praying for all of you. And you can always write down your prayer request, dropping it into the offering plate or putting it in the back of the sanctuary box. Friends, for the good news of healing and wholeness that our Savior offers, let all God's people say, Amen.